Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our sermon series that is looking at our mission and vision is continuing for this week and next week. And in this, I talked about the idea that part of our job as pastors is to make sure that we are actually accomplishing the things that we say we want to accomplish. And to that end, we've worked with leadership a few years back to come up with our mission and our vision statement. And our mission statement is to enrich the lives of children and families by leading you to live, love, and serve like Jesus. That's our mission. And that's what we as a church are passionate about. Since this church started its very first year, it was clear that this church was passionate about children and families. And it's something that we remain passionate about to this day. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. And our vision is a Lake Houston community that is transformed by a deep love of God and neighbor. And that's what's going to happen in our community when we are accomplishing our mission in spades, when we're really doing our job. We will see a community that is transformed by a deep love of God and neighbor. Now, I know some of you are going, well, Mike, it's really clear in Matthew 28 what our job is. It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And absolutely, that's what we as followers of Jesus are called to do. That's what Jesus sent his disciples out to do. But it's not just so easy as to say, we're going to make disciples. You have to figure out how. You have to figure out sort of who your body of Christ is, what you're passionate about. And then you have to figure out the community in which you are set and how you're going to go about making disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we've stated our mission and our vision statements, and we have three words that sort of guide us. And you heard about them in the children's sermon, but it's connect, grow, and go. And we talked last week about the need to connect to God, the importance of corporate worship, the importance of reading Scripture, that those are the ways and the means of grace that we can use to connect to God. That our connection to God is primary, that we have to do that first. But we also talked about the idea that we are a body of Christ, and it is essential to be effective that we connect with one another. Today we're talking about the word grow. And our understanding of this word grow is twofold. The first is that you will grow spiritually as a follower of Jesus Christ. The second understanding of this is that we as a body of Christ will grow numerically. Numeric growth is a sign of your fruitfulness. A church that is not growing is dying. It's just that plain and simple. A church that's not adding to its numbers is going backwards. A disciple who says, I love Jesus Christ and I want to follow him and never does anything else is at best standing still and likely going backwards. We started our sermon series looking at 1 John. That passage that says God is love. And the text says that we love because God first loved us. That's really profound if you stop and think about it. Everything that we do, all the love that we have, is in response to the fact that God loved us first. And from there, we go on to love God and to love our neighbors. For you to grow spiritually takes some effort on your part. It means that each one of us are trying to grow in our discipleship, to deepen our understanding of Scripture, of how God works in the world and in our lives. It's important that we commit to growing spiritually. Our text today comes from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, to Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 24. Hear these words. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and the hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of God for the people of God. So a little historical background. So Paul has gone out and he started these churches. He's taught them about Jesus, taught them about being a follower of Christ, and he's moved on. And there are these people that have followed behind him that are sort of amending his teachings, saying, oh, you don't have to do that, but you got to do this. They were called Judaizers among some of them. And these were people that were coming behind Paul and sort of warping what it is that Paul had taught these churches. And he's writing to them and say, whoa. You need to be smart about this. You can't be just thrown to and fro by any doctrine that somebody brings to you. You have to be smart. You have to test it against the Jesus that you know, the Jesus that I taught you. Paul is telling us, do not be deceived by others. That you have to be smart about what it is that you believe. And I've said to you before that I've never, ever really served a church that has really staked out its position as we have as a part of the Global Methodist Church. We were part of a church that had some doctrine that were going in some places that we could not buy. And we chose to stand by the doctrine and the Jesus that we knew. This text begs the question to me is, how do we know what to believe? You know, there's a lot of folks out there that are claiming that they know what Jesus wants from you. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of being a channel flipper. Late at night, and I don't know if this happens on your TV, but I get to a section that's like a whole bunch of preachers. And they're all talking about Jesus. They're all talking about God. And some of the things that they're describing are not a God or not a Jesus that I know. And some of them will tell me exactly how I'm supposed to do it for $49.99, and they'll send me a holy hanky. There are all kinds of people that are out there trying to tell you their way is the best way. The truth of it is, I believe that people who don't know Jesus are walking around with a God-shaped hole in their heart. They don't even know necessarily that they're looking to fill this hole, but they are. And there are all kinds of people out there that are willing to help them fill it with things outside of Jesus. I mean, Scientology, that's about you finding your own strength, about you healing yourself. And then there's the Book of Mormon, which is a whole ancillary that goes to the Bible. It's a second revelation to Joseph Smith. And they offer things that are not Jesus. As Methodists, we're a people who ask questions. We're a people who use our heads. We are a people who study Scripture. I expect that you, as a member of Atascocita Methodist Church, will want to grow spiritually. That you will do the work, that you will read the Scriptures, that you will ask the questions. And it is my expectation that you don't accept the words that I say up here just because I said them up here. I want you to take them and I want you to test them with the Scriptures. Is this really what I believe? And there's probably a chance that you and I might disagree on some interpretation of Scripture. And that's great. But you don't just sit out there and listen to what I say and say, well, Mike said it. I want you to test it. I want you to test it with your experience of God in your life. And I want you to test it with Scripture. And is what Mike's saying scriptural? Paul is telling us that we need to compare what people are telling us to the Jesus that we know. To the Jesus that we know through Scripture and through our life and through the teachings that we have received throughout our life. How does one do that? I mean, it's great to go into your prayer closet and read Scripture. It's a wonderful thing. And the Holy Spirit will undoubtedly reveal things to you. But I have to tell you, as your pastor, that's wholly inadequate. To start, it's something. But to really explore what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to be in connection with other people that are doing the same thing. What is the most effective way to learn to live, love, and serve like Jesus? It's about being a part of a small group. It's seeing and hearing how other people are interpreting Scripture, how they have experienced God in their life. If you want to grow spiritually, the single best way to do that is to be a part of a small group, a Sunday school class, a group that meets in the evenings. It doesn't matter. If you're sitting around with two or three other believers, you can learn. You can learn how they interpret Scripture, perhaps a little differently from you. You can learn how they have seen God at work in their life, what God has done in their life, and how God works in the lives of others. We have a video that we put together that shows some of the small groups that we have. You'll hear from some people in this church that talk about what their small group means to them. So let's take a look at that video. Brothers and sisters, today we want to talk to you about something that's very near and dear to our hearts, the importance of being part of a small group. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27, Paul reminds us that we're all part of one body, that each of us play our own part with our own gifts and our own roles to play. Just as the body needs all the parts to function, we as the body of Christ function well when we have all of our parts engaged and connected.
John Wesley, founder of Methodism, understood the importance of small groups. He formed class meetings to ensure that each person had a supportive community to grow in faith, share their struggles, and to hold one another accountable. These small groups were vital in spreading the Methodist movement and deepening the spiritual lives of its members.
Here at Atascocita Methodist Church, we carry on this rich tradition through our diverse small group offerings. We offer Sunday school classes in the traditional format, Monday night Bible studies for men and women of all ages, and a group for parents of children 0 to 18 that meets Sunday nights for a meal and fellowship. We also offer many special interest groups, such as the Ladies Book Club, music ensembles, and Emmaus reunion groups. There are support groups like Grief Share and Survivors of Suicide, which provide a safe space for healing and encouragement. When it comes to small groups at AMC, there's something for everyone. And if you don't find a group that fits, we would love to help you start one.
To give you a better understanding of how impactful small groups can be, let's take a listen to some of our members.
Biggest reason I was, I'm a part of a small group here at the church is because I was invited. Most people, I wasn't, probably wouldn't have been in a small group had somebody not taken the time to invite me. But once I got there, it was the fellowship and the relationships that were formed that kept me there.
Well, I feel like that any time that I have a problem, I can go to anyone in that small group, and they have always been supportive of me for everything that I need. And we are that way towards everybody in our class.
Our small group does a deep dive into the study of the lesson each week, and through our discussions of the Bible and what the parts that we study, along with the deepening of the relationships of the individuals. That's how I've grown in my faith.
Well, when my husband died, everybody in that Sunday school class was behind me, asking what they could do to help, and just really made me feel like I have a wonderful church family.
About a month ago, my dad passed away, and it was beyond comforting to have other folks in the small group who had been through the loss of a parent to talk with and to just be there. And while everybody grieves and mourns and goes through things like that and with different circumstances and in different ways, just having those close relationships and those people that I knew that I could lean on, not just because they had been through it, but because themselves, but because they had, I knew they were there for me, made all the difference in the world coming through it.
Small groups offer a unique opportunity to deepen your relationship with God and with others. They're a place where you can belong, be known, and be loved. We have four well-established classes on Sunday morning, and beginning August 11th, we will have two more. One will be Bible 101, and we'll explore basic Bible stories for those who are new to the Bible or those who would like a refresher. This is also a great way to learn about how to share these stories with your children or grandchildren. The other new class will be led by Pastor Bobby, and we'll focus on prayer to begin with, and then continue to explore a variety of spiritual life activities.
I can encourage anyone to come join this church. You might come in alone, you might not know anybody, but everybody gathers around you and greets you, and it's truly finding a family.
If you're not already part of a small group, we invite you to find one today. Not only will you be blessed, but you will be a blessing to others.
So you're going to learn about God, you're going to learn about Jesus, but you're going to have a family and you're going to make some really good best friends.
So find a small group and let's connect, grow, and go so that we can grow the body of Christ.
To learn more about joining a small group, visit our church website or speak with one of our leaders. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Edward. Edward produced that video for us. Thank you. You know, there are some sayings that we occasionally hold on to, and we often think that they come from Scripture. God helps those that help themselves. Everything happens for a reason, and God won't give you more than you can handle. Nope. Not in the Scriptures. If you're in a small group studying Scriptures, you would know that. The first one is Ben Franklin. God helps those who help themselves. And that last one, God never gives you more than you can handle. I would amend that to you can handle anything with God, because that's the truth. You can handle anything that happens in your life if you have God in your life. Now look, I will say that we are not a huge church, but we're a big enough church that if you want to have intimate connections with other people, with other followers of your group, of your church, that you need to be a part of a small group. It is really there that you can really make connections. And it's there that we can care for you the best when you have things that happen in your life. We have Sunday school classes or small groups, and when there's tragedies in one's life, those are the people who come. Those are the people who bring food or are there for you. And I will just be honest, if you come to worship on Sunday mornings and then you just go home and beat the Baptist to Luby's or whatever, that's great. But you're missing out. You're missing out on so much more. You can connect with others. You can understand Scripture better and in new ways. The book of Proverbs has something that I think is just so spot on for this. The Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens the wits of another." I believe this with all my heart. I believe this with everything that I have experienced as a follower of Jesus. Even as a pastor, I need to be a part of a small group that studies, that talks about Scripture. It's important. So I invite you, if you are not already part of a small group or a Sunday school class, find one. We've got two new ones that are starting on August 11th. If you've got questions, you can reach out to me or Leanne or Bobby or anyone on staff. We want you to grow spiritually. We want you to deepen your faith. And the best way to do that is in the company of other believers. Other people who believe in the same Jesus that you do. If you're not a part of a group, find one now. If you want to start one, reach out to us, and we will make it happen. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, in your wisdom, you have made us a people that are better together. We are stronger together. We're more effective together. And we grow spiritually better together. Father, we ask that you would bless all of our small groups and our Sunday school classes, that they would be a vehicle of your grace, that they would be a place in which people can connect with you and connect with one another, and that they can grow in their understanding of Scripture and of God. Father, you have such amazing grace and love for us. Help us to be able to share that with others in our midst and in our community. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.